Psalm 90, verse 1. Notice with me, the Bible says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. In verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass that which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repenteth thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Psalm 90 is somewhat of an unusual and a unique psalm. And I say that because David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, is not the author. A matter of fact, neither is another well-known psalmist by the name of Asaph. And neither is he the author of this psalm. But Psalm 90, we see, is a psalm written by Moses, that great emancipator that brought the children of Israel out of bondage, who actually wrote the first 5 books in the Bible that we call the Pentateuch. Now in this chapter, you'll find Moses uses words like morning and evening, days and years. He even uses the word generation, referring to the different time elements in mind in your life. As you study this psalm, you'll find it becomes evident that Moses, that great man of God, is coming down to what we would often refer to as being the home stretch of his life. Out of the 120 years that Moses lived on the earth, you'll find that 40 years is spent down in Egypt, being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The next 40 years is lived on the backside of the desert, tending to his father-in-law Jethro's sheep. Then the last 40 years, after he's delivered God's people out of bondage, is spent walking around in the circles of the wilderness. Just simply put, you can look at the life of Moses and we can relate to this, that God was taking a nobody and making him into somebody so that he could send him somewhere to do something in particular. Right. That pretty much sums up the life of Moses in a nutshell. But I want us to notice in this chapter, Moses does what any smart man or woman should do when their hair starts turning gray, like Brother Greg's, starts turning loose like mine. Say amen right there. They find themselves getting a little older, getting down the home stretch in life. And that is to take inventory of one's life. Notice what Moses says in verse 10. He said, the days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is there strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Look at verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Then notice what he says back up in verse 4. He says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. He says, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth, and in the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. It is, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. Without a doubt, I believe Moses was looking back over the years of his life, realizing tonight how fast and how fleeting they really were. And Moses again says his life, our life rather is like grass that groweth up, and in the morning it flourishes, and in the evening it's cut down and withereth. James said our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. I kind of like what one writer said about life. He put it this way. He said, life is like grass. We are sown. He said, then we're grown. He said, then we're mown. Then we're blown. He said, and then we're gone. There's a lot of truth to that. Thought about Brother Josh. Just seems like yesterday I was just a little fella down on the farm in Pageland where I grew up, down in what is known as the Hornsboro community, down there playing cowboys and Indians. I mean, running around acting like Paladin. I know some of you don't know who Paladin is, but praise God, the ones of you do. How about Rifleman and Matt Dillon? All right, just running around playing all those little cowboy and Indian games when I was growing up. But then it just seemed like all those years just flew by. I mean, those times when we had a cow, by the way, her name was Daisy. I used to ride Daisy out in the pasture. I can see her just as plain right now in my eyes, in my mind's eyes, it was yesterday. But you know, if I live to see December the 21st, I'll be 63 years old. Seemed like only yesterday I was down there, but the truth is, I've got more days behind me, in all honesty, than what I probably have ahead of me. The Bible says that we are soon cut off and we fly away. But really what caught my eye out of all these verses that I read here in Psalm 90 is verse number 9. He says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. In other words, we're just simply making memories, the years of our life. With that in mind tonight, I want to preach for just a few minutes on this thought. When it's all over, said, and done, what kind of tale will your life tell? When it is all over, said, and done, what kind of tale will our life tell? I thought about, first of all, when it comes to life, I want my life to tell of a great forgiveness. You see, the Bible says again in verse 8, look what Moses said. He says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in light of thy countenance. You see, God knows our secret sins. And those things, Pastor, that we thought and said and done that nobody else knows anything about. I'm going to tell you, you may hide it from mama, you may hide it from daddy, and you may hide it from your wife or your husband, but I promise you this, God knows all about our sin. Then notice what he says in verse 14. He says, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. See, Moses was telling God, you know all about me. You know my good, my bad, my ugly. You know everything that is happy in my life, everything that is sad in my life. You know everything, I mean, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, and the good, bad, and ugly. But Lord, one thing he showed Moses that he'll show you and I. Moses is saying, Lord, but you showed me mercy. Yeah. I thought about this, instead of getting what I deserve, I'm glad God showed me mercy. Yeah. See, there was a day in my life back in 1980, on that Wednesday night 41 years ago, I was lost and on my way to hell. I mean, nothing but an old pot smoking, pill popping, powder snorting hippie drunk, till Jesus passed by my way. On that night, praise God, justice made a call and mercy answered. And Brother Greg, I found grace that night in the eyes of God. I'm thankful for grace on this Friday evening. I thought about how over in the book of Genesis, chapter number 6, you'll read the story there, and you'll find how God, literally, his heart had been broken. We see sin had been increasing. The wickedness of man was great in the earth. And then we see how God repented himself. It broke his heart, Brother Peter, that he even had made man. And then right there in the midst of all of it, in chapter 6, verse number 8, the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. I'm glad, praise God, for that night. Mercy called, justice answered, and I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I promise you, if one of the greatest decisions you'll ever make on this side of eternity is where you're going to spend eternity. Oh, I thought about this. Thank God the Lord didn't give me what I deserved on that Wednesday night. If I'd have got what I deserved, I would have got hell. I'm going to tell you right now, I thought about a good example of mercy in the Bible. There's a picture of God's mercy in Isaiah 1:18. The Bible says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And though your sin be as scarlet, it shall be white as snow. Though it be red like crimson, it shall be as wool. I want to tell you on this Friday night, if you're here lost and on your way to hell, you better be glad that God beckons you to come. I want to promise you this could be the last time. If God speaks to your heart, I know no greater moment than right now to slip up out of your seat and get on this altar and give your life to Jesus. You say, preacher, will it make a difference? I promise you, he'll make a world of difference in your life. Here's a good example of grace. And Bible says in John 3:16, what grace? Brother Jim, that God so loved the world. Can I get out here and preach a little bit? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, oh, but have everlasting life. I tell you right now, I'm glad, praise God, to be a part of the whosoever will crowd. I'm thankful for whosoever will gospel. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hey, God said that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. For he believeth not on the name of the only begotten Son of God. I tell you right now, if you're here tonight and lost and on your way to hell, you don't have to leave out the doors the same way you came in. Why, preacher? Because God wants to forgive you. What a testimony. I mean, to be forgiven. I mean, you think about it, when it's all over, boiled out, said and done, all that really matters when you leave this world is that you know him. My question is tonight, do you know him? Can you go back to that place, back to that moment in your life where you turn from your sin and ask him to save you? You say, preacher, I don't understand. How simple? How could it be so simple? Well, I'm glad it is. I tell you what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can try to go by the way of the Pope. There's no hope in the Pope. Somebody say amen. You can try to go by the way of your church membership, and it's not going to get you to heaven. Hey, you can do every good work. You can take every do-gooder pill that they can put out in the pharmacy. And I don't even know if there's such a thing, but it sounded good. You could take every one of them, and I promise you it wouldn't get you one foot into the portals of glory. You say, what will, preacher? Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that made me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm not talking about the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood has he entered once into the holy place, and there he obtained eternal redemption for you and me. Oh, Lord. You say, preacher, will getting saved make me act like you? I sure hope it don't.
I heard my wife say amen, and she's always sitting on the couch at the house. Oh, I will tell you, one of the greatest decisions you'll ever make, and what a testimony to leave behind, is that you know God in great forgiveness. You say, well, preacher, I hadn't really been a bad person. Doesn't matter. Say, preacher, I never drank liquor. I'm so happy that you didn't. Preacher, I never smoked none of that weed. I'm so glad you didn't. But I'll tell you what, if you've never been saved, you're just as lost as I was. You're as lost as a ball in high weeds. And the only help for you tonight is to come to Jesus. Hey, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, Lord. We see here, what kind of tale will our life tell? Will it tell one of God's great forgiveness? Not only that, but secondly, we should want the tale of our life to tell of God's favor. Not just His great forgiveness, but of God's favor. Look with me again in verse 16. He said, "Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it." You see, there came a time in the life of Moses when he realizes that God's favor is found in serving God. We ought to serve the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. If you want to experience God's favor in your life, I'll be honest with you, I've thought about this many a time. I'm going to tell you something that's killing our churches. It's half-hearted Christians. I mean half-hearted. Not dedicated. Not sold out. I want to tell you, it'd be a great day in your life if you're here tonight and you're saved, but you've never been sold out to Jesus. It'd be a good day on this Friday night to get sold out and serve Him with every bit of ounce in your body. Oh, I thought about this. I've been in the ministry 30 plus years, and I've just about come to the conclusion that a person's level of faithfulness is a direct result of their spirituality. Their level of faithfulness is a direct result of their spirituality. I thought about over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. By definition, the word faithful means to be reliable, to be trustworthy, to be dependable. Out there, there's a place out there in California, Brother Jim, I'm sure y'all familiar with it, Yellowstone. Many of y'all are Yellowstone National Park. And you'll find there in Yellowstone, there's many underground springs everywhere. And of course, one of the most world famous is Old Faithful. They tell me, they said that Old Faithful erupts every 65 minutes. It's like clockwork. They tell me that the eruption lasts for approximately 4 to 5 minutes, and often it shoot up for as high as 125 to 100 feet, 150 feet. Now, here's the object lesson in that. Old Faithful draws a crowd because of its faithful eruptions. See, it's true that out there in the park, there's other geysers that will actually are larger in size and more spectacular, but you'll never know when they're going to erupt. See, Old Faithful's consistent. And the question is tonight, how consistent are we when it comes to serving God? How consistent are you and I when it comes to giving God our all? Old Faithful is consistent. You'll find in directing people to look upward to heaven every time it erupts. I mean, every time you got to look up. I want to ask you a question tonight. Does our life point people to Jesus? Are they seeing Jesus in us on the job? Are they seeing Jesus in our life out at Wally World or over? They say Myers, but that's one I want to call it, Miger. I can call it Miger and get away with it. They see Jesus in your life out at Miger. I mean, when that person in the line is just really getting on your nerves. I mean, Do they see Jesus when we're sitting at the stop? Y'all have some of the longest stoplights up here. My Lord, you could get two or three people saved waiting on one of them lights to change. Seriously. Do people see Jesus in us other places except at church? I sure hope so. See, I want my life to be a tale that will tell of God's favor. And God's favor involves being faithful. God's favor involves serving Him. Oh, faithful, by the way, not only does it spew upward and cause people to look upward, but something else about old faithful, it's got a fire deep down on the inside that causes it to erupt. You know what? Brother Greg, if it wasn't for the fire, old faithful would be just another hole in the ground. Boy, I'm glad there's a fire. I'm glad there's a fire in the gable end of my soul tonight. I'm glad for the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within. I'm glad for the Holy Ghost that when we feel like throwing down, He helps you and I to get up. When we feel like quitting and walking away from God, He stands up and keeps pushing us forward. Hey, I tell you, I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost tonight that lives inside of you and I, that compels you and I, that constrains you and I to keep on keeping on in these days that we're facing. Oh my soul, I wasn't planning on going this way, but here I go. The significance of being faithful will no doubt be realized at the judgment seat, at what is known not as the great white throne but the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, the Bible says, "For we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." Verse 11 says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Now let me ask you a question, you answer it to yourself. If every member of Emmanuel Baptist Church was just like me, what kind of church would Emmanuel Baptist Church be? Oh, and I know you got some great people here. Don't misunderstand me. But maybe you're from a different church. Maybe you're here tonight visiting. Ask yourself, if every member came just like me, would we have enough people to keep the doors open? If every member tithed, you know I couldn't leave without saying, getting on that. I know y'all tithing people. But ask yourself, if everybody gave to missions like I give, could we support missionaries? If every member was as faithful to the church as I am, could we keep the lights on? If everybody witnessed and told others about Jesus just like me, I wonder would we win anybody to Christ? Well, I knew that I was going to let the air out of this thing, but I just had to go there. You see, we are spending our life as a tale that is told. And the kind of tale that our life needs to tell, first and foremost, is a life of great forgiveness. But then secondly, it ought to tell of God's favor. And listen, if God's been, God has been good to us. Boy, if I'm been, God's been good to us. And listen, we ought to be good to God. Not because we can love God because He first loved us. And listen, for God reason, God's good to you and I because He loves you and I. Least we can do is repay Him back and do all we can to live for Him. Now notice this, and I'm done. Not only do we find that should our life tell of a great forgiveness in God's favor, but last of all, I find that the tale of our life should tell of a glorious flight. Look with me again, verse 10. He said, "The days of our years are threescore years and ten, and if by reason of strength they be fourscore years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away." I thought about tonight, I was looking over my plane ticket, well, it's my receipts and all, And Brother Jim, I got to think about it in the morning. I'm going to be flying out of here. I got to, you know, in order to fly out from Cincinnati to Charlotte, you know what it takes? A reservation.
Yeah, right.
Hey. You got to have a reservation. And listen, if you don't have a reservation, they won't let me get on that airplane. I'd have to get Brother Jim to crank up a helicopter and carry me home. Honestly, you got to have a reservation. And I thought about what the Bible says. He says we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, it fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. Anytime you get on a plane, you've got to have a reservation. You got to have your ticket. You know, when I get on that plane in the morning, you know one thing, Brother Ray, I'm just going to get on that plane. I'm going to go back there and I'm going to sit down in economy, find my place and sit down. You know why I'll be comfortable sitting there? I know there's a captain up there going to take his plane off. I've never seen the captain that flies them airplanes. I've never seen the one I'm going to fly with either. See, one day the Lord himself is going to send from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I've said it before and I'll say it again. One day we're going to leave out of here, praise God, like Superman, and we're going to come back riding like the Long Ranger 7 years later. I'm going to tell you, I want people to see there's some joy in my heart. There's some joy in my life. Hey, I'm not for this dead religion. If I want to go somewhere that's dead, I'd find me a graveyard or a mortuary. But I like to come to the house of God and let people see my light shine, that others might see Christ in me. A glorious flight. Oh, listen, I want to read you this over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number, I got to get to it. Chapter 15, verse 51, Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for this trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Don't get excited now. Paul said, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality," he said, "then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O great..." Hey, can you... Wait a minute now. Can you imagine? There you are in the clouds. And old Donald Trump looks over and sees Brother Rod. You reckon you'll get excited then? Old death, where is thy victory? Old death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Brother Greg, think about it. Here we are. We mean, Bible says, "Beloved, now we're the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we do know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is." Now, I said amen to Brother Greg the other night when he said he believed we was going to be 33 and a half years of age when we see Jesus. I say amen. Can you imagine looking over there, Brother Greg, and seeing me with a full head of hair? Oh, and me looking over there, no gray at all. And my skin just as smooth as silk. I mean, listen, one day that grave will no longer have us bound. Hey, listen, death will no longer have a hold on you and I. I mean, can you imagine taking a glorious flight one day? I tell you right now, I like flying American Airlines. I like flying anything. Just take me up there. But there ain't nothing like that flight. I'm going to tell you what, there'll never be a captain and like that captain we're going to see. Oh, listen, I want to ask you tonight, what kind of tale will your life tell? Is it a life of victory? Is it a life of defeat? Is your life at this very moment, are you here tonight and lost? You don't have to leave the doors out, the doors, as I said a moment ago, the way you walked in. Or you're here tonight and maybe you've not been serving God as you should. Well, I tell you, you can find God's favor anywhere, but you'll never find it like you will at the altar. I mean, when you come before His presence and bear your heart before Him. Maybe you're here tonight and you just need to come to this altar and ask the Lord to save you. It'd be a great night. Boy, what a great night to get saved. Friday night is it? Any night's a great night. Any day's a great day to get saved. Brother Doug, if you'll come, I'm done.
If you enjoyed today's broadcast, head on over to your app store and download the IBC Florence app today, where we have our music, sermons, videos, devotions, and much more. And as always, thanks for listening.